Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of The Winning Drive. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers, joined by fellow Lifetime Longhorn CJ Vogel, also joined by the coach, former high school coach at Bernie, Capel, Brownwood, Rotan, Belton, also played college football at Abilene Christian, coached there in multiple stints, and on the staff at the University of Texas for multiple head coaches. It is Coach Bob Shipley. What's going on, Coach? How you doing?
Hey, doing good, man. Just got back from the Bahamas.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, man, that you're looking tan too.
Oh, that's yeah. What I was saying. I was saying that earlier, Rod. Look at it.
Yeah, he looks tan. Yeah, you know, he looks relaxed.
Yeah, CJ sporting his hat from Suede and Shield Co.com, Burnett County Rodeo, baby.
That's shout right. I got it on. I got that thing on, Coach.
Yeah. I love it. Hey, there you go. Go check it out, man. Go check it out. See, hey, and that's what Coach is doing these days. You can go check it out.
Right there. That's right. Yeah, all good, man. All good, ready for a good baseball game tonight, and you know, hope UT can pull it out. Hey, you know they wore those UT caps last
Coach,
game.
Coach got some jokes. Coach got Maggie's. Coach got jokes for y'all because the rumors are that Texas gonna win regardless tonight. They Texas may end up being the big winner. We'll discuss it, of course.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, the big news on the 40 acres, of course, there's no burying the lead. Texas will be looking for a new baseball coach. Maybe they're not even looking anymore. Maybe it's already settled. They already know who their head baseball coach, next head baseball coach is going to be. It just hasn't been announced. Coach David Pierce has been relieved of his head coaching duties with the Texas baseball team as of this morning. I believe Kirk Bowles was the first one to report that. So we'll get into that a little bit. We'll talk about it, of course, all your questions, comments, that and recruiting. Shout out to my man CB joining us as well. And we'll get to some recruiting nuggets because CJ was working hard over the weekend, man. And great stuff, by the way, CJ. Appreciate all your efforts. You and Jerry, man, y'all been grinding on those recruiting visit weekends. So I want to get your thoughts about a lot of stuff. And, of course, I'm sure we'll have a lot of questions. Remember, Super Chats can interrupt the show at any time. You can jump to the front of the line. We'll throw those out there. So those will be our two topics, main topics of conversation. But there are a couple other things that I want to get into as well as it relates to Texas football. But let's start with the biggest story. Then we'll get to some recruiting stuff. But gentlemen, Coach Pierce, no longer the Texas baseball coach. Well, obviously, we talk a lot of Texas football, and of course we will. But Longhorn fans, no matter football, baseball, no matter what sport you follow, are following this story. And CJ, the rumor mill, and Coach just hinted at it there. It is some crazy rumors out there about who's going to be the next head coach at Texas. And the timeline of the announcement of Coach Pierce being let go, it also, to some people, it hints at potentially it being down to a couple of candidates. Your thoughts?
It's almost like a loser or winner, depending on how this game goes tonight, is leaving town, which is something you don't necessarily always see in the world of college sports. Of course, we'll see where the hiring goes. But right now, there's a lot of smoke surrounding one Jim Schlossnagle at Texas A&M. There's a lot of smoke surrounding Tony Vitello at Tennessee. Again, we'll see. I think the Sarkisian hiring is kind of one to look back on for Chris Del Conte. Of course, there's a lot of smoke around Urban Meyer and a lot of other candidates at the time. Where did Sarkisian come from? Kind of left field, right? It was kind of out of the blue at the time of that hiring. Could all of this noise and smoke that we're hearing right now regarding the baseball hiring be the same situation? Perhaps. I just think there's been so much, though, it'd be very difficult to have kept this as under wraps as they have this entire process. Of course, the firing of David Pierce today kind of reminded me of what the Los Angeles Lakers just did a few weeks ago. The Celtics go out and they win their 18th NBA Finals championship. They're celebrating. The city of Boston's, you know, enjoying the day, planning out the parade. And what do their arch rivals, the Los Angeles Lakers, do? We're going to hire our coach today. So all the headlines are focused on what's going on in Los Angeles and not the celebration that's going on in Boston. If that's the case, and it certainly has been today with the firing of David Pierce on the day of what could be Texas A&M's first national championship in a Big Three sport in almost 100 years, I think. But besides the point, that does feel like it's taken the world of college baseball over just a little bit in terms of who everyone is talking about on a day like today when the focus should be on the game. Here we are discussing what might be the next head coach at the University of Texas, which is the premier baseball program in the country, of course. But again, Blake Monroe on Texas Football's Blake Monroe is about to put up a great article regarding the search, regarding what he's hearing right now moving forward. So be able to head over there to ontexasfootball.com. He should be posting that up in the next 5 to 10 minutes as you know we inch closer to first pitch in Texas A&M and Tennessee Game 3. Rubber match of the College World Series.
Yeah. It's an interesting point, though. You're right about how it feels like that Texas stole the headlines regardless of who's going to be the – if it is one of the potential coaches that's still obviously playing or if it's another coach out of left field, Texas stole a lot of headlines from the Aggies in that situation. So maybe that's what this is all about, could be. Or maybe there's some smoke where there is there's some fire where there is some smoke, I should say, because it seems like there's a lot of smoke that, man, Texas is going to make a big splash here, a big move. And, Coach, you hinted at the rumor mill has Texas doing something pretty diabolical. And there's even some – there are some people saying this is unfathomable and cannot happen, and there are others who are saying, no, it's very possible that Texas could take the Aggies coach no matter what happens here. Like, that could happen. That would be truly some diabolical stuff. Like that would put CDC on another level. That'd put him on another level in terms of kind of the diabolical genius. You're talking about Kaiser Sose, Darth Vader, you know, Nino Brown type stuff going on here. If that's what you're doing, if you're going to steal the baseball coach from, and if they end up winning a national title and you do it, that would be wild. I even me, and I know Texas has the power to do that. That would still seem like that'd be pretty wild and far-fetched. But like I said, it would put the man in made man status. He would truly be, set apart even from any other athletic director in the country, which he already is. You could argue he's the best. But then he would be put on another level in terms of his genius and ability to make moves.
It ain't happening.
It ain't happening.
If you know the Aggies, it ain't happening. They will say how much money. I mean, there's nothing that would deflate any momentum they have, which is obviously in baseball.
Yeah.
Suck it right out from under, but they're not about to let that happen. I will be completely, utterly shocked. I just do not. I mean, it would be pretty cool. I mean, I think the guy's obviously a great baseball coach. He's a great analyzer of talent, and he's a great developer of talent, and he's got a great assistant staff.
Yep.
I mean, he's got it all, you know. But I there is no way that guy is compensation for Austin. There is no way that Texas A&M will let that happen unless that guy is just really unhappy and does not like somebody there. the athletic director, the president, whatever it is. But he's done an amazing job. And, you know, I'll tell you, I remember back when what was our Aggie governor's name when we won the national championship?
Rick Perry.
Yeah, he came and spoke and did the hook 'em horns.
I remember that. Yeah,
Aggies almost burned down the governor's mansion. But I will give props to the Aggies if they win tonight. I mean, it's not football, but it's a major sport, and they have a fine football baseball team, outstanding baseball team. Their pitching staff, I mean, good grief, it's just. Yeah. I mean, they deserve the credit, but. Oh. It would just be the most amazing thing sports-wise, coaching-wise, I've probably ever witnessed in my life to see them pull the rug out from under that national championship appearance by letting their coach go to Austin. I say 99.9, it ain't happening.
See, I feel like you could. I got too, and as I say, I got too much respect for the Aggies, and if it is about money, then they just would make them the highest-paid coach. I don't even know who's the highest-paid coach.
And they should. And they should.
He would just be, he'd just be the highest paid coach. Yeah. And matter of fact, this might be his agent. Who knows? It might be his agent saying, listen, let's put this out there that you go to Texas. So they panic and then they just pay you a whole lot of money. So like I said, it could just be the smoke coming from his agent, his side. Who knows?
They've done a pretty bad job of hiring some coaches, but they got that one right. Give them credit where it's due. He's a great baseball coach and he's put together a great staff and obviously a great team.
What's probably a foregone conclusion, regardless of either he stays at A&M or he ends up in Austin, he's going to end up being the highest paid coach in all of college baseball, regardless, right? Yeah. You know, he's either going to get that bump to stay at Texas A&M coming off of what could be a national championship winning season, or Texas is going to have to break the bank to get him over to Austin from College Station. Regardless, his agent – and I'm sure his wallet are going to be sitting fat and happy at some point later this week, regardless of where he does end up. Of course, I do believe Blake is going to have some great intel over on Texas Football again. So let me plug that real quick before we move on into some recruiting nuggets.
Go check that out. And like I said, if indeed that – and by the way, if Texas ends up with, you know, the Tennessee coach, that also would be great. Or ends up with – I know a lot of people are high on the Clemson coach as well. Really high on him. So it's a short list of names that I've heard thrown out there. And listen, Texas, everybody's going to answer the phone when Texas calls. That's just the nature of it. It gets your raise even if you're not leaving to go to Texas. We know that in every sport. But like I said, that if Texas indeed does that, I'm with Coach. I respect the Aggies too much. They're not going to let that happen. That would essentially be – that would be the athletic equivalent of Tupac's Hit 'Em Up or Kendrick Lamar Not Like Us. I mean, it would be – you're talking about, I mean, it would take the rivalry to just a whole nother level. You're talking about to move into the SEC and the first year to the SEC, you take your rivals, basically their best coach on campus for a major sport. That's like moving to the neighborhood of your hated rival and start banging their wife or girlfriend. Like that's some harsh stuff, man. And it's hardcore. The CDC, that would be that's OG stuff right there. That'd be gangster, man.
Let me tell you, here's one more thing. Think about this. CDC, I'm going to tell you, that dude is smart. He is wise. If there wasn't some talks, I think he would have squashed that right off the bat because he does not want to give the A&M people the pleasure of being able to say, see, y'all tried to come in here. Y'all try to do everything like we do. You have to come to our conference. You want our coaches and all this stuff. I think if CDC wasn't in talks with his agent, he would have already squashed it because he doesn't want to give A&M anything to put over on us. I mean, that's the other way to look at it. And I think that even makes it more intriguing because CDC didn't just fall off the turnip truck. Now, I mean, this dude, I mean,
yeah, man.
I'll tell you what, CDC deserves whoever he hires. He has proven that he deserves, all of us to give this guy a chance, whoever it is, he's proven he knows how to hire a coach. Yep. And whether it's a Clemson coach or whether it's, you know, the UT coach or Tennessee coach, whatever it is. But that's the only thing that makes me scratch my head because I don't think he would let these rumors go on and give A&M the satisfaction of saying y'all tried to steal our coach and you couldn't even steal our coach. You know, you backdoored your way into our conference because you want to be like us. That's what they said. You know what they said. I read on the boards when they were playing Florida and some fans got kicked out of the game that were heckling the Florida players with A&M stuff. They said that was Texas plants.
Yeah.
Texas planted some people there to make the Aggies look bad. I mean, are you kidding me? I don't know any Longhorn that would put on an A&M stuff to make somebody somebody look bad.
Mm-hmm. Uh-uh. I don't have any more.
That's the mindset of some of the fans. I know you can't generalize all Aggies, just like we got our share of knuckleheads in orange and white that probably have never had anything to do with the university, and they give us a bad name. So I got some of my best friends are Aggies. You know, I'm not saying it's the general. But it's funny how on the message boards they spin some of this stuff like those were Texas plants that got thrown out of the game trying to make us look bad. Come on, man. We all got idiot fans. We all have idiot fans, you know. That's just
– good point.
That's just the nature of today's social media that can that can give you a black eye and it probably ain't even your people, you know.
True that. Nope. Good stuff there. All right. Okay. See, now we got to get into something, Coach. We got to – take the show in a direction.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Mama Vogel is joining us. So thank you, Mama.
What? Look at that!
Man, she sent a super chat. Look at what the super chat's about. How about this, Coach? Mama Vogel wishing CJ a very happy birthday. Tried to do a super chat, but now I'm new to that and old. Hey, CJ, happy birthday! See, this is how guys are. Guys,
thank you, thank you. See, I'm getting old, Rod. I'm feeling old.
You're such a dude. Guys being dudes. He didn't even tell anybody it's his birthday. I had no idea.
Hey,
no idea.
Okay. Who had a birthday last week, Rod? Who had a birthday last week?
I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. My birthday's October.
I thought I read something where somebody's wishing you a happy birthday.
Coach, I was about to feel horrible if that was the case.
I don't like people wishing me a happy birthday either. I'm not into that.
All right. We'll remember that. But happy birthday, CJ.
Yeah.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody in the chat, for the happy birthday wishes. That's very sweet of y'all. No other place I'd rather be on the birthday than, of course, talking some Texas football on the winning drive. But we got a lot planned. And, hey, might get a gift at some point this week with the baseball coach. Well, who knows?
Okay, CJ, that would be the old are you? How old are you, CJ?
27. It's my Mike Trout year.
27.
Heck yeah. That's a good birthday.
You're approaching 30, so you're young professional age, got yourself a gig. Now you know your purpose. You know what you're good at. You're great at this. So you know you just got to continue to work hard, and you're going to continue to skyrocket.
Hey, he's got the world by the tail, right?
Yeah,
he's 27, living large. He's on top of his game in this business.
Yeah. CJ, how long you been doing this? Like, how long you been doing this now? You've been doing this for a long time. You're only 27. How long?
Yeah, I've been, I would say 25 years now. Six,
that's
maybe.
Crazy. So you've been doing this since you was like 21, 22. And now you're a vet and you're only 27. You know what I mean? that's pretty wild, man. But basically, in this industry, CJ is a prodigy. Like, in this,
he is.
This industry, there's no question. I knew about
him.
Thank you. I was following CJ like back then for the Nuggets. Back in the day.
He's like that Tiger Woods. He's like that Tiger Woods boy.
No, but that's what's up though, CJ. I've been following CJ. It's crazy. I've been following you for so long. And like I said, I'd use you as research. I remember bringing up your stuff on our shows back in the day. So congrats, brother, and happy B-Day for sure.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Noah in the chat also having a birthday today. Happy birthday to you as
happy
well.
Happy birthday, babe.
Happy birthday.
And then, AJJ Sports, I saw your comment, and I appreciate you always chiming in on stuff, but I'm not going back to Vegas anytime soon, and I'm not celebrating there. I saw the comment. I'm not going back to Vegas. We're celebrating elsewhere. We'll be in New Orleans later this week for the Manning Passing Academy, so we should have some good intel from there. It should be a good time coming up this week. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Treat yourself down there in New Orleans, man. Good food, good drinks. Yeah, man. I love that. That's good. Okay. All right, let's get to some recruiting. Speaking of CJ, let's stick in the recruiting here. CJ, you did a great job this weekend. You and Jerry, man, you guys were grinding. Go check it out on TexasFootball.com. Go check out some of the great videos they did from this weekend on Texas Football here on the YouTube channel. But you did some interviews with a lot of guys. Which one of those interviews stood out to you the most? I'll tell you which one stood out to me the most, but I want for you, the guys you spoke to. And you're talking about who feel like it's promising in terms of their outlook on Texas. Which one of the guys you think were heavily influenced by their recruiting visit?
Yeah, to me, it was Madden Foraimo. It was a linebacker out of the West Coast. I think it was kind of the resounding, answer, response to his interview that we put up on Texas Football on Twitter last night. That's a smart kid. That's a kid that understands it. He has a great family. Of course, Notre Dame doesn't recruit kids who aren't, bright up between the ears, right? He's got that. He's being recruited right now by Texas and Johnny Nansen as a middle linebacker. They also like him a bit off the edge, so they might be spinning him around. Should he be the guy to go along with Elijah Barnes, who I think some folks behind the scenes think he's a little bit bigger than they expected to come in. He came in around 6'3", 230 pounds. So that's a big boy, and he can fly. We watched his tape a week ago, Rod, and I think there wasn't a draw at one point that didn't drop, having seen what he could do on the field. Texas is making some noise here. I think coming into this weekend, Notre Dame was perceived to be that heavy favorite, right? They had been after him for quite a while. It was also thought to be his first time on campus this weekend. Not the case. We actually learned at the airport Saturday morning or Friday afternoon, that it was actually his second time coming back to Austin, which plays a little bit more into how we view Texas. You know, if he were to take money out of his own pocket to come out to Austin his first time, that says a lot. That's interest on his end more so than Texas pursuing out west, where it was kind of perceived to be the case earlier this week. But hey, Texas did a great job. He had great things to say about the program, the coaching staff, and of course, the opportunities and the networking available to him in the city of Austin, which is something that's very important to him right now. So Texas did a good job. I think they're sitting right there, maybe a smidge behind Notre Dame at the moment, whereas coming into the weekend, they were a distant second. So narrowed the gap for sure, but coming out of the weekend, I think he absolutely had that top interview and one that folks were really interested to hear after his time on campus.
Yeah, I like his game, man. I love his quote to us as a football player. How do you not choose Texas? It's like,
right?
Man, that sounds like you choosing Texas, but that's a good sign, no doubt. When he's saying things like that after his recruiting visit, so with you. But I really like his game as well. All right, how about this one? This is from ArrowKits27. Thank you for the question. It says, anyone else fear that the city of Austin might actually becoming a negative in recruiting for some of these kids? As a longtime resident, it's not the city it once was, sadly. I agree, it's not the city it once was. I always say Austin used to be a great place to have a cheap date, and you can't have a cheap date in Austin anymore. Those days are done. I used to have great cheap dates in Austin all the time. As long as you know the right spots, you ain't got to spend that much bread now. Hard to have a cheap date in Austin. So, yeah, it's changed, but I think it's just got new things to sell. I think the sales pitch is just a little different than it used to be. But it's still, I mean, it's one of the best cities in the country. I mean, you got so much wealth and affluence moving here. And I think that's part of some people necessarily don't like all that because that has a certain influence on the city as well. If I live in Austin, I love the city. I agree. It has changed. I think some kids, they don't like, it's becoming a huge metropolis. So I think some kids, it used to be kind of in between being a big city and being a small town. Now, there ain't no doubt, big city. So I do think some kids, they just prefer a true college town environment, or maybe like a country environment. A&M can offer that. There are some other great schools that offer that. you know, yeah. Austin is in a major city. So, Coach, I do think that plays a role. I'm a city boy. So when I was in Houston, Austin being – and it wasn't obviously what it is today, but that actually was one of the things that attracted me. I was like, no, I kind of like the city. I like being in the city. I don't mind traffic. I like freeways. You know what I mean? I'm kind of used to that. And some kids, I understand for them, a bit overwhelming. College, new level of competition, transition, in addition to – having to grasp the overwhelming kind of influence of a new city too.
Well, you think about this though, Rod, CJ, what is it that 18, 19, 20, 21 year old kids look for? You know, they look for nightlife. They look mm-hmm. for, you know, things to do, great food, a community that's going to support them. You know, they're our professional team, as you might say. I mean, in terms of, you know, we don't have a professional team here. All we have is the Texas Longhorns, and you go places and you're treated like, you know, like a rock star. I mean, yep. you really are. And so there are a lot of kids that they like the nightlife. They like the food. Now, expensive food's not a big deal because these kids have some money in their pocket.
That's true. That's true.
And so the publicity that you're going to get playing at the University of Texas, the development that you're going to get. And, you know, there hasn't been that many kids. I remember back when, I don't know how it was when you played for Mac, but when I worked for Mac, we all had a night where we checked the dorms. There was curfew every night and mm-hmm. we checked the dorms every single night, you know, just to make sure that the kids, because the last thing that Mac wanted, you know, was kids making the headlines in a negative way. And I'm not saying kids didn't sneak out after that.
I was going to say, Coach, I remember them checks.
hey, let me tell you something. I was checking rooms on Halloween night. It happened to be my night, October 31st. And me and Ken Rucker, Ken yeah, said, you're going to need some help tonight, Bobo, because Halloween night's a big night on 6th Street. So I check all the rooms. And he's waiting downstairs for me, okay? Yeah. And I said, Coach, have a good night. He goes, hey, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going home. What are you doing here anyway? And he said, just have a seat. So Ruck and I sat there for a little while. Then it wasn't any time a kid that I coached in high school, okay, Kenny Vaccaro's little brother, Kevin Vaccaro, all right, and Duke, what's Duke's last name?
Duke Thomas? Oh.
Yeah, Duke, yeah. They come down and they got their top hat on, their cane. They're dressed to the T's, and they're cat daddying down the hall like this. And they walked around the corner and saw me and Ruck. And I said, hey, where are you guys going? Hey, Coach, we're just going to the room. So they went back up to the room. Years later, I'm talking to Vaccaro about it. And I said, hey, man, you remember that time? I said, what'd you guys do that night? I said, Coach, we just went through another exit and went out in the parking lot without 6th Street.
But my
point is that Sark has done a really good job of creating that team concept.
Yes.
We obviously with Trevondre and his problems there, you know, after the season, and you know, it's still, you know, you can't get in trouble and it not get out, you know, and he's done a great job, I think, of making the kids understand that while you're here, you've got to take care of your business and make sure you're doing what's best for the football team. I'm not saying kids don't go out and cat around town, but he's done a great job of keeping the kids focused on the main thing.
Agreed.
And I think that's obvious because, you know, like I said, when you get in trouble, it's going to be all over the headlines. It just is.
Yeah. There have not been a lot of those stories at all. Yeah. I agree with you. So, and Sark's talking about how the GPA overall, the team has gotten better. Sark has done a really good job with that kind of stuff. Guys aren't misbehaving. And also, I think it's the culture of the team. When we went out, Coach, we knew it was up to us to make sure nobody got in trouble. It's like, no, man, nobody doing anything stupid. I know nobody getting into fights, like nobody getting arrested. Like, hey, we all come down together. We make sure everybody's going home safe and everybody's good. Like, it's because we're family. So, yeah, Coach, there's some, obviously, accountability when it comes to the program, but the players got to be accountable to each other and take care of each other. I'm like, hey, that's your brother out there. Take care of him. Like, if one guy goes to jail and y'all was with him, then I remember Coach Brown said, hey, man, I need to talk to all y'all. What happened? How'd you let your brother go to jail? How'd you let him do something stupid like that? And why didn't you have his back when you were there? That's the same thing. You have that discussion. You got kids, Coach. You got that discussion with your sons. Like, hey, how did one of them get in trouble? Why did you supposed to get keep him out of trouble? Help them make better decisions. So I think it's some of that too. And I think that's a big part of what's happening with the team. They got a really good leadership core.
I still patrol the streets every now and then on the Fridays and Saturdays down here in Austin. I'll tell you what, last 3 years, I've seen that number of guys on the team decrease significantly from where it was when I was in college. Maybe I'm just going to the wrong places now, or maybe they've just gotten smarter with where they spend their Friday and Saturday nights. But that number has been significantly, you know, less than what it was back under the previous staff. And I will say, you know, again, maybe it does help having the NIL play to your advantage, where you don't necessarily need to go out, or if you are, you're going to different places where maybe you're prone to a little bit less of the common folk, if you know what I mean. So, I've seen it less and less and less. And it's encouraging in the sense that, again, you are in the city of Austin. There's plenty of opportunities to, you know, go out and get into trouble or find somewhere where you probably shouldn't end up being. But at the end of the day, they've been out of my sight, and that's good, because I've probably been all over these Sixth Street bars and places to be. So, the other thing I wanted to mention,
Mama Vogel, he was just having milk. He was just there doing his job. Mama Vogel was just doing his job.
That's right. I was just doing my due diligence as an Austin native to support, you know, small businesses, you know. But the other thing I wanted to mention is I moved to Austin in 2017 for my first year down here in Austin at UT. And, you know, I think that was kind of the last year or two where you really still got that small Austin vibe, right? Austin's been growing, you know, exponentially. And it's evidenced by, you know, stepping outside, looking at the downtown skyline and seeing 6, 7, 12, 15 cranes at a time working and lifting and moving and whatever. And it's interesting, you know, because we talked about it. This whole conversation stems from recruits coming down to Austin, maybe not enjoying, you know, the hustle and bustle of the city. Well, what's been pitched a number of times this week and this month throughout the official visits is the networking opportunities. Kevin Wynn was shown a number of restaurants. He wants to study culinary. UT was like, hey, we probably don't have what you're looking for specifically with your major, but what we do have is tremendous five-star restaurants, hotels with great, opportunities for you, basically. Let's see if we can get you in contact with them. That's exactly what they did. We heard it a few times at the airport on Sunday. They talked a lot about Elon Musk moving his headquarters down to Austin, Google, Facebook, whatever it is. They flood the Austin streets and, you know, blocks down here, basically, to come out and provide opportunities for internships. Obviously, we've seen what Lamborghini Austin can do with a number of NIL opportunities and internships with players on the team as well. So that's been used to Texas's advantage time and time again. And they've done a tremendous job of previewing and giving opportunities to kids on campus to see basically how they can come to Austin and, you know, be more than just a football player during their time in campus.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Good stuff there, CJ. All right. How about this one from Kyle Vachoska? People been asking me about this too, about Coach Joseph and Coach Gideon. He said, Rod, I know it's not fun to talk about, but do you think Coach Joseph and Coach Gideon are coaching for their jobs this fall? I do think if you don't have improvement from the secondary, because it's probably one of the only position groups that hasn't shown a lot of improvement, drastic improvement since Sark has been there. I do think you may have some changes of some kind, but that, I don't anticipate that being an issue because I do think they'll improve. I really do. They got the talent now. The talent's there. The guys know the system. We're expecting big leaps, all right, from the edges this year. They brought in as much veteran experience as they could to replace DeVondre Sweat and Byron Murphy. So if the secondary is not a strength this year, it can't be a weakness. If it is a weakness, I think coach may decide, hey, man, we got to change either philosophically what we're doing in the secondary, or, yeah, maybe we need to look to get, you know, a new coach in here, a new message, someone who can, you know, teach the system a little bit better if it's not necessarily translating. Because the guys know the system now. They've been in it a long time. They know it. They, you know, it should be muscle memory for them now, where you don't have to think, which means that you play a lot faster. And obviously, Coach PK has shown the ability to be a good defensive coordinator. Defense has gotten better overall. He's solved some problems that existed, right? Red zone defense, third down defense. One of the problems they got to solve now is pass defense, and situationally going up against certain concepts, which they struggle against. I expect them, they have the same numbers I give you guys. Yeah, they got better numbers than I give you guys. So they know the issues that exist. They know the same stuff that I'm telling you that they struggle with. Closely clustered groups of receivers, inside breaking routes, empty formation. They know all that stuff. And I do think they won't solve everything. If they just solve a few of the problems, they'll be okay. And I don't see how they struggle this year with all the veteran experience and talent they have. But if they do, yes, I agree. Coaches, they probably will be, there will be some changes. I'm not going to say they're going to get rid of both of them or anything, but there will be some changes in the secondary if the secondary is a weakness next year.
Yeah, I've been told this since day one. My experience in college football as a coach and as a staff member is if you're recruiting at a very high level, then you get the coaching stuff worked out. We'll get who we need to get with. We'll get if you're recruiting at an extremely high level, you have a lot better chance of having job security than if you're not bringing in the 4 and 5 star studs, the people that are difference makers. That's when I would start being concerned. If you're struggling in a position area and the coach is not killing it recruiting, then yes, that might warrant a change. But if your coach is in whatever particular position you're talking about, are recruiting at an incredibly high level that you can't probably replace, then X's and O's, you get that figured out. You got to get that figured out. They ain't dummies. They didn't just come into Austin. You know, I mean, they have every resource available to them, NFL and anywhere else, to figure things out. If you're recruiting at a high level, that's the best job security you can have.
Yeah, 100%. It's an interesting conversation, right? Do the recruits make the coach? Does the coach in scheme and development make the team? What's the balance there? For Steve Sarkisian, my thing that we've seen is, you know, at certain positions, he prioritizes that developmental coach, right? Whereas at other spots, he's saying, whoa, we need a guy that can come in and be, you know, our go-to recruiting chief, if you will. Wide receiver is one that Texas, I think, would have liked to have had a little bit more consistency of over the past 10 years when it comes to development. What does Steve Sarkisian do? He goes out and he adds Chris Jackson from the Jacksonville Jaguars, who in 2022 had just come off of one of the more surprising seasons when you look at Zay Jones and some of these guys that they had on their roster at the time, even without a Calvin Ridley, a guy who was looked at as a top 10 wide receiver in the country. Well, it was Trevor Lawrence's best season. And so I think a large part of that is because of how they were able to create separation at that time for the Jaguars. And I think Texas fans would all agree last year they were pretty pleased with the wide receiver play of Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, Jordan Whittington. All three guys got drafted, obviously. So when you look at it that way, it then speaks for itself. Your work on the field as a developmental coach then works for you in terms of recruiting and what you can do in previous years. It eases out the process tremendously. Whereas on the other side of the ball, I think Texas linebackers had a pretty good run of guys, right? Jalen Ford, DeMarvion Overshown. Those guys you could point at and say, yeah, we develop at the linebacker spot. But when you have an opening, well, now you can come out and say, hey, Johnny Nansen, we know what you can do in terms of recruiting. linebacker is an important spot regardless. We're going to need those guys there. Oh, but you can also help us everywhere else on the defense. Let's see what you can do here. And I think that's exactly the approach that Texas has or Sarkisian had in his hiring process, and it's paid off at both spots. It's just a different route to get to the same position.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the first place they're going is they're trying to change their philosophy a little bit. More versatility, more foot speed in the secondary overall, and they're recruiting guys who are coverage specialists, and they got more of those in the secondary now. Derek Williams, Malik Muhammad. I think the hope is that the secondary takes a huge leap because of those kind of, you know, like I said, changes, like, do you believe organizationally or you believe conceptually that you're changing before they have to make a change with a coach? I believe for Sark, it's the last thing he wants to do. He's shown that. He's a continuity guy, and he believes he's made the right hires already. They just got to tweak some things. I think the tweak this year has been more speed, more versatility, more coverage specialists, and we'll see if that works for him this upcoming season. But I agree. Good stuff there. I know somebody wanted me to look up Terry Joseph's like history of DBs in the NFL too, or DBs he's developed. I got his 7 DBs in his, what was he got, 18 years where that have been drafted. So I didn't look at undrafted free agents. Got a 1 first rounder, 2 second rounders, a 4th rounder, 2 6th rounders, and a 7th rounder in all of his times and all of his stops. It's not bad here at Texas, and the assumption should be that, you know, you have even more here at the University of Texas because this is probably the way you've had the most talent to work with as a coach. All right, good stuff there. All right, let's get to thank one of our sponsors before we move on here. We got to thank the good folks over at South Point Dodge. We really appreciate them sponsoring the Winning Drive and being a part of the On Texas football family. So Texas football fans, you can score an easy extra point this season when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, including a great selection of Ram 1500s, 2500s, and 3500s. Whatever your truck needs, South Point Dodge is the one-stop shop. So score big today at South Point Dodge. You can go see them off I-35 in South Austin or visit them online at southpointdodge.com. That's southpointdodge.com. So thank you very much to the good folks over at South Point Dodge. We appreciate them sponsoring the Winning Drive. All right, getting back to the questions. KD35, I'm the best, who also has an October birthday. Shout out to that. I like that. Says, looks like OU got their 2026 QB. To now, after Bell committed last week, a lot of QB dominoes are starting to fall. CJ, you any thoughts about how many more QB dominoes are starting to fall? And these QBs, when they commit early, how do they stay committed more so than other positions who maybe commit very early as well? Because I know in some positions they commit early and you kind of take it with a grain of salt. But how about quarterbacks when they commit this early?
Yeah, I think they normally do stick, and I think it's because you take them so early, you're so invested in that recruitment. Quarterbacks, obviously, they make a big difference.
Yeah.
Real quick, a few other dominoes have fallen already this week after the Diabel addition to Texas. Brady Hart committed to Michigan. He's a really talented kid from the West Coast. Brady Smiegel, also from California, committed to Florida. So you start seeing some of these guys make their decisions. The dominoes go quickly for quarterbacks. And, of course, it's a big reason why, right? You want to kind of parade and market that quarterback around for that class coming up to say, we got a good one, come play with them, and let's get something built that's pretty special here. Of course, Jaden O'Neal to Oklahoma is pretty interesting. Why is that? Well, he camped at Texas on June 1st. And while all the headlines at that time were around Troy Hune out of San Diego and Diabel out of Florida, he snuck in. And I think it was a little bit of a surprise for him to come in. And I don't think the Texas staff ever really got too involved there. He left campus pretty early and did not stick around for the pool party and to meet with Sarkisian and A.J. Milby afterwards. So we already knew coming in it was between Hune and Bell. Texas obviously went with the direction of Bell. But it was also worth mentioning at the time that Jaden O'Neal was on campus. Well, he had an Oklahoma backpack. I think it was very peculiar at the time for him to walk into the Texas facility with an Oklahoma backpack to talk with the coaching staff with that backpack on. And after talking with him after that trip, he made it clear that Oklahoma was a school that he was very heavily considering. And I thought it was very, I think I put it up on texasfootball.com afterward that I would be shocked if he did not end up with the Sooners at some point. So I don't know if, how often you ever saw that coach or Rod, that a kid was on campus for a visit and was donning the biggest rival's backpack or gear, but this news certainly isn't too much of a surprise to the folks down here in Austin.
Wow. Coach?
I can't deal with that. I mean, you know, that's just a slap in the face of the Texas staff, if you ask me. And you know, I don't know if that had anything to do with the decision that they wound up making, but or maybe the kid already knew the writing on the wall. I don't know. But, yeah, I don't – it's kind of like going out with a, you know, with – with a girl who's, you know, wearing some other dude's rings or necklace, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just like, okay, I see where this is going.
I don't like
maybe
it.
Maybe you better go on to be with the one that, you know.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
I don't like it either. I'm thankful that our coaches probably have a lot more tact than I would have.
Well, I mean, obviously, I don't think it's like, I'm not going to say it's an indictment on the young man's character or anything like that, but I would appreciate, even if you, let's say you are committed to the Sooners, you just came here just to see Texas, that's fine. You know, let hear Texas sales pitch. You know, I like the certain level of respect that, hey, you know, that's their bitter rival. You shouldn't be, well, I don't think you should wear any other school when you go visit another school. You shouldn't wear their stuff. But, man, the rival? Yeah.
That's one of two things.
Certain level of petty there, I feel like a little bit.
He does not understand the depth of the rivalry, or he's just disrespectful. It's simple as that. What else could it be? Either he doesn't understand the rivalry, or it's just total disrespect for Sark and his staff.
I hope it's the former. He just don't understand it. He don't know how deep it is.
I hope so.
It don't matter that much for him. But either way, I still wouldn't wear any other school though. I wouldn't wear any school.
No.
stuff to a visit. I don't think that's, you know, the right thing to do. But, hey, man, I know the kids these days, hey, they got a different kind of swagger. I sound like an old man. Let's get to another one of the questions here. This comes from LL. I don't know if it's cool or Jay, but it's LL. Jay. Appreciate you. CJ, you think Texas still has a shot with Dorian Brew? Heard this name a lot.
Yeah. Obviously the talented cornerback out of Conroe, Texas, was on campus for a midweek around, what was it, 6 days ago, 5 days ago, made his way up to Columbus, Ohio for his time with Ohio State this weekend. And that's who previously was anticipated to be the team to beat earlier this winter as we headed into spring. It was Ohio State that was the big favorite for Dorian Brew. They have since loaded up with Devin Sanchez and Naeem Offord, who are both five-star cornerbacks. So Ohio State kind of fell by the wayside, and now Texas had felt good early spring. Right now, I'm not sure if Texas is in that pole position spot for him at the moment. I don't think that they are. I think that this is still a lengthy race ahead of everybody. Of course, there's a number of other schools intrigued here. USC is a big one to watch out for as well. I will say this. I don't think Texas is that team right now for Dorian Brew. But I do think that there is some life still up and available in the race for Devin Sanchez. I don't think that door is completely shut just yet.
Okay. Like that. Can I ask you something? Just me. I got a recruiting question. Man, what's the deal on Nick Townsend?
Yeah.
Coach, I don't know if you got a chance to watch this kid.
I haven't seen him.
The more you watch him, the more you like him. And he's an athlete, but what projected to be a tight end or something like that, right? What's the skinny on? Ain't nothing skinny about it. What's the lowdown on Nick Townsend?
Yeah, no, his visit went very well this week, and I heard some positives that lead me to a lot of confidence in the Longhorns and where they sit right now. He has a decision coming July 8th, so 2 weeks from now we should be seeing some sort of answer, some decision from him, and where he will end up playing his college ball. I think the Longhorns have made it very clear that they want two tight ends in this class. They already have one with Emory Winston out of Georgia, and they made it clear that, hey, you know, we need a second guy like you. Obviously, he can stretch the field. He's a sub-11, 100-meter dash guy at, what is it, about 6'4 and a half, 230 pounds. He's a big kid, right? And I think you watch the tape, him running away from four defensive backs right there, Coach. He can go. Mm-hmm. A big-time player. And again, Texas made a good move there. Interestingly enough, it was Emory Winston who said, Yeah, I was recruiting him. I know that Texas needs a lot of tight ends, and I understand what he can do to help me. But I was after him, as was KJ Lacy, who mentioned previously that that's a guy that he had his eyes on, hoping to, one, help out the run game, and two, give him a nice little safety check down valve that he can help, you know, create explosive plays with. But he's a really talented guy, and I think the Longhorns sit in a good spot right now.
Yeah. Coach, he's a special kind of athlete, like a unique athlete. They can get him playing tight end, that kind of speed. This is kind of, JT Sanders was a very unique elite set of skills and traits as a tight end, but he didn't have the speed like this young man has. And so that's one thing that he's got that I think Sark has always wanted in tight end. He wants it in Amari Nyeblack. He has it, I should say, in Amari Nyeblack. But Amari Nyeblack's missing some of those other traits you want in a five-tool tight end. I would say this young man has the raw material to be a five-tool tight end if developed right away. And JT Sanders was that guy too, but he didn't have this kind of speed.
Yeah, he has the versatility that we know that Sark's looking for in recruits. And when you can get a tight end that versatile, man, you don't have to bring him off the field, you know?
Right.
And that's how do you call that personnel? Defensive people they're in the press box looking at seeing who's going on the field. How do you call the personnel? Do you call him a tight end? What do you call him? You know, because he can split out wide and you're not losing a whole lot. Looks like to me from watching this.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Yeah, no, Coach. And Sark moves his tight ends around a lot too, Coach.
Yeah.
So sometimes a lot of times you can classify him as an H-back, the way he moves them, depending on if it's split flow. He'll use him as almost a fullback in the backfield, getting some of those cross blocks. No, that's why he wants those versatile athletes. And this young man, you see him playing linebacker. He's versatile enough and physical enough to be that kind of player. So I think he has a really high ceiling at tight end between him and Jordan Washington is his name, the young man they brought in this past year. And they bringing in another tight end in this class. You can tell Sark's, he's bringing in and you said this, CJ, about defensive end. When you started DNs, you're like, man, Sark has recruited a different type of athlete at DN, just different frame. They look at compared to other positions. I mean, compared to the defensive end position, edge position in recent years, they just look totally different. And I think you're going to be able to say that about tight end too on the 4-day because pretty soon, like, man, it's just a different look to the type of tight ends they're bringing in.
Yeah, the thing with me, and I, Coach, I'd like to get your thoughts on this too, but the physicalness of his ability, you know, at the tight end spot, you know, that's one of those things where you either have it or you don't. And for him to be playing linebacker and, you know, defensive end, this is a guy where you watch the tape and you say, oh, yeah, this kid likes to hit. So when you're lined up against a 6'6", 270-pound edge rusher, it's no longer as much of a worry if you're the Texas coaching staff because you know that this kid already has it ingrained in his mind that, hey, physicality doesn't scare me. I like to hit people. That's why I play the game of football. And that's something that I think Texas might not have always seen out of a Jatavion Sanders. You know, it was a big jump for him from year one to year two after he came out of high school. I know he played some defensive end, but he was never that, you know, truly innate blocker. Yeah. He was never seeking out that physicality that you like to have seen inside the trenches. With Townsend, I think you see it a little bit more. That willingness to block is certainly more prevalent on the tape than it's not. So I like that, and it's something that certainly helps progress that developmental side at tight ends as well.
Yeah.
He's kind of a Travis Hunter tight end linebacker. You know, he's like a big, you know, big Travis Hunter guy. I mean, how could you not want this guy? How do you miss, you know, how do you miss on recruiting a guy like that? He obviously plays with a lot of passion. He's very aggressive. and he's got the wheels to get himself out of trouble. He's definitely the kind of guy that Sark likes to get. I would love to have him on our roster.
Cotton says top NFL teams have elite tight ends. We need to follow the league. You know, Sark pays a lot of attention to the league, and I'll give Sark credit. Sark has said publicly the tight end position is the second most important position in his offense behind quarterback. He has said that publicly. I obviously what he did with JT Sanders, the way he moved him around, manipulated matchups. JT Sanders was.
Did you see that block?
Coach like, oh my God. yeah, coach like that one, though. Yeah. No, he's got, yeah. I don't know. He's got some popcorn.
Look at this. Look at this. Go buy some popcorn up there, bud.
I think Sark is trying to emphasize the tight end position. I do. I think he wants versatility at the tight end, but he wants speed so he can manipulate matchups there. This guy brings that to the table. There's no doubt. So, all right. Someone said Townsend looks like a prime Antonio Gates, says Zane Petty. Ooh. That's nice. Yeah, that'd be nice if that was the case. All right, let's talk about, because I know we're getting close to the end here, so if you got some questions, guys, please throw them out there. We'll answer as many of them as we can before the show is over. But I was doing some research because I saw I believe it was 247 Sports discussing it, discussing whether Texas Isaiah Bond would be a 1,000-yard receiver. And I thought to myself, and I was like, well, that's an interesting conversation, whether – we think he'll be with all the receiving talent they have here. You know, Xavier Worthy was a 1,000-yard receiver last year. I believe, you know, it doesn't happen a lot. I was just doing a research and I was like, man, how often has Texas had a 1,000-yard receiver? I counted 11,000-yard seasons for a receiver in Texas football history, 9 different players. And 2 did it twice. Of course, Jordan Shipley and Roy Williams, 2 of the GOATs did it twice, but everybody else just 1 time. And prior to Xavier Worthy having his 1,000-yard season, you had to go back to Devin Duvernay in 2019. Do we think that Coach, I'll throw it to you first. You think Isaiah Bond? You think anybody has I guess if anybody's going to have a 1,000-yard season, it will be him. But do we think that he'd be a 1,000-yard receiver?
I think it's possible for us to have a 1,000-yard receiver. And if it's going to be someone, I might say it would be him. But he's going to have to be hot early. You know, I mean, it's going to have to be a guy who proves that he can handle the designation of being our, you know, wide receiver number one. You know, a guy that is going to be able to handle it in any situation. I think he has the ability to, but, God, we've got such talent in that room. I know Sark wants to spread it around, but you still got to have that guy. I mean, there's times that everybody knew X was going to get the ball. And somehow he got open and still got loose, you know. Mm-hmm. So if he can prove that, it's possible. It's certainly not beyond the realm of possibility. But the good thing he has in his favor is we have so many talented receivers. You can't double him. Which one are you going to double? You know, you can't double one without somebody else making you pay for that. So because we can balance our throwing the ball around and getting getting the ball out to different people, then I think that's a possibility. I do. I don't know that I would put any money on it, but if we have one, he might be the guy. But man, we got some. I've seen some film on some of our younger guys working out. Man, I don't know. We've got some cats.
I know. I'm gonna say no right now. I'm going to say I can't say that they're going to have the most receivers that Sark has had since he's been here in rotation, that he's going to expand the circle of trust, which I've been saying all offseason. I don't think I can say that and also say that you're going to also have a 1,000-yard receiver, because Sark likes to use his backs in the passing game a ton. His most underutilized position in the passing game is the running back. So we know running backs don't get some of those. We know the tight end position to a certain extent. And then you have so many wide receivers. Like,
have you seen the tape on Jonte Cook?
Exactly. He's balling too. And then you got Silas Golden coming in.
Our 1,000-yard receiver.
Yeah, and I know CJ likes Matthew Golden. I'm going to say you're going to get a couple of guys like it's 700, you know, a couple of guys like 600, 500. I just think you're going to – I think you're right, Coach. I think they're going to make it a nightmare on opposing defenses because they're not going to know who to key in on week to week. You've been like, well, last week it was Isaiah Bond, and the week before that it was Jontae Cook that went off. Week before that it was Matthew Golden. I think that – hopefully that is the premise because that does – but we know Sark likes his guy,
CJ.
And if he figures out Isaiah Bond's the guy, he's gonna force feed him the football.
Well, that's right. You gotta think about this too. He's not gonna bring in guys off the transfer portal and not use them. Because if he does that and he doesn't use them, then it's gonna be more difficult to get guys to come in off the portal if he hasn't proven that he'll use those guys and spotlight those guys. So you gotta think about that as well.
Yeah, the only thing that might, you know, bode well in favor of having a 1,000-yard wide receiver is exactly what Nate Rush just said here. Tyson's expected or is hoping to play in more games this year than not, right? And of course, who knows if they're a top four team and they get that bye? Who knows if they're from 5 to 12? But at the end of the day, Texas is hoping to play longer into this season. So that might help in its favor as well. But I think there are too many chefs in the kitchen right now to have that one guy that's receiving as large of a volume share of targets as we saw with Xavier Worthy over the past few seasons.
Rod, what's the – we could play – that was a great point that Matthew just put up. We could play, what, 15 games?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the max you could play?
You can play 12 and then SEC title game.
If you don't get a bye, you play 12 regular season, you play the conference championship, that's 13. Yeah. If you don't get a bye
– yep.
14, is it 15 or 16?
I think it's 16 would be the max.
Yeah, if you play 16 games,
yeah, you'll get there.
You may have 1,000 yards.
And that's a great 16 point. Games that's a great at 1,000, a 1,000 yard clip at 16 games, it's only 62 yards a game. So,
yeah,
of course, now you'd have to play 16 games, of course, but that's certainly attainable.
No, you're right. It is. It definitely is because I'm not even sure if Sark was on that staff. Was that 2018 Bama? They did it with those four receivers. I believe Judy ended up with 1,000 yards. And that was they had Waddle and Ruggs and Devontae Smith, if I'm not mistaken, in 2018. Yep, here it is. Yep, I got it. Judy was 1,300 yards, Ruggs 741, Waddle 848, Devontae Smith 693. Now, that was early on, but I'm saying it was a deep core. But that was just four guys. We're talking about Texas having potentially 5 to 6. We forget about DeAndre Moore. Can throw him in there a little bit as one of the guys. Jontae Cook, Matthew Golden, Isaiah Bond, Bolden, and, hell, Ryan Wingo. I forgot about the young buck.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
About the young phenom. Don't forget about him. Throw him on there, too. All right, we got another story we got to get to here because this is breaking news of sorts, CJ, and I believe – my man Bobby Burton, I just broke this, so go check out On Texas Football and you can get the story. And actually, you know what? I can let CJ dive into this because I'll try to work on getting, because I believe we can get Bobby on to talk about this. But CJ, the details, Texas getting a new quality control assistant, right?
That's right. Yeah, no, big-time recruiting coordinator and professional scout. That's Bill Reese, the father of Tommy Reese, who is obviously the offensive coordinator at Alabama, former quarterback at Notre Dame. Of course, Bill Reese, very talented, has a lengthy resume. He was the recruiting coordinator at UCLA from 1979 to 1994. And then listen to this. Worked with the 49ers, the Bears, Chiefs, Browns, and Buccaneers. Anywhere ranging from a college scout to director of player personnel. Of course, had a stop at Wake Forest as well. Texas has seen some turnover this offseason with Billy Glasscock headed out to Ole Miss. And of course, Bobby Merritt headed off to Rice to become their general manager. Texas just, of course, aided that room right now with the addition of Reese, who, again, very lengthy tenure. He's been around the block. He understands talent. This is a guy that's done it at the highest of levels and just spent the past seven seasons from 2017 to 2023 as the director of scouting at Notre Dame, who's had some success, I would say, in terms of getting guys to the league. So this is a pretty successful we got Bobby on the chat right now. Let's hear from him.
There you go. That's the man.
What's up, guys? Y'all doing all right today?
What's up, Bobby? Yeah, you're breaking news, brother. So we appreciate you coming on. CJ was just giving us some of the background on this new hire for the Longhorns, but you broke the story at OnTexasFootball.com. So what can you tell us about the new hire for the Horns?
Yeah, Bill Reese is actually a guy, and Bob Shipley will appreciate this. He was one of the very first recruiting coordinators I ever met back in 1993 when I first started doing this.
Wow.
He was at UCLA. Do you remember Kevin Williams, Bob, that played running back out of Spring that went out to UCLA? Sure. Yep. He was from Spring High School. Well, Bill Reese was responsible for him going to UCLA and not Texas. So I'll put it that way. But he was the recruiting coordinator at UCLA from 1979 to 1994. So in his formative years, he was working for Dick Vermeil. He then spent the next 20 years or so in the NFL, where he was director of player personnel at one stop, went there with Vermeil to the Chiefs to start, just to give you a assessment there. And then now, most recently, he was the director of scouting for Notre Dame as well. So now he's the Longhorns. I don't know exactly what he's going to be. I wrote this in the article. It's unclear what position he'll be because, as y'all know, Steve Sarkisian retooled or revamped his off-field support staff after Billy Glasscock left to become the general manager of Ole Miss. He elevated Brandon Harris to general manager. Michael Jones was elevated to director of player personnel. Taylor Searles to director of recruiting. Kendall Perry to director of recruiting operations. Well, one spot remained unfilled, and that was director of scouting. And director of scouting used to be, and I don't know if he had this exact title, a guy named Bobby Merritt, who left in January or February to go become the general manager at Rice. And so I think it while there's no official announcement yet from the university, this has happened. And I think that what's going to happen is he likely will have a scouting type of role, whether that's pre-scout stuff on opponents or the portal, perhaps, where he's looking at the portal while he's looking at other teams, that sort of thing. But he's got coach and guys, he's got a lot of skins on the wall, really does.
Hey,
40 plus years in college or in the
high. Yeah. Thanks so much. That's great breaking news. While we got you on here, I wanted to see what you thought about the Division I Council voting on the unlimited college football coaching staff size. Yeah. What do you think about that?
What did they say? Did they go one way or the other, Coach, on that?
I haven't heard. Rod actually sent me the link to it. Rod wanted to talk about it on the show, and we haven't talked about it yet.
Yeah. Look, I don't care what – this is a business. I think that if people understand that this is a business – and people need to do what is best for their business. I can't tell Shipley Ranches what's best to do. Like another ranch company can't tell you what's best to do for your company, right, Coach?
Right.
I don't think I'm okay with that. You know, now Nick Saban started it and maybe it got out of hand or maybe it didn't. And it's just now getting to where it should be. And there's hundreds of millions of dollars at stake, right? I mean, my take on it is, you know, coaches, the difference would be if there were more scholarships available to one team than another. If the playing field, the actual players on the field, number of them were different. The number of coaches, you know, I don't know that necessarily matters. What did y'all think about it, Bob?
Does it separate the haves and the have-nots? Does it lean more towards a super conference or a super division or something? Because some people can't afford. And also, there's no limit on what Texas and some of the upper, teams that have money, schools that have money, what they can pay those guys. There's no limit to what you can pay them. So, the article Rod sent out was talking about, you know, some really mid-major coordinators, you know, being able to get on a staff like Texas or Oklahoma or Alabama or whatever and get some actual coaching on the resume at a potential national championship FBS FCS program. FBS.
Well, I definitely think it separates. the question I have, and this is for you, I mean, you know better than I, because you've been a coach. The question that I have is how much it actually matters. You know, if I've got Vince Young and, you know, Jamal Charles or Cedric Benson, and you've got more coaches, which one matters? You know, and I know that you as a coach would say, well, they both do. Right. And I think that's fair. And I think everybody understands that. But I think all of these rules do pretend or do lean eventually towards there being a set of rules for the haves versus the ones that just want to play college football. Yep. And that's okay. I mean, look, there's really about 60 to 65 of those teams, we think, not 130 like there is today. Mm-hmm. You whittle that list a little bit, and I don't know if it's 65 or 48. I'm not saying I know that exact number. I just – there is a difference. You know, does Rice really – I mean, I just use Rice as an example. Are they really going to be in that category? Or are they going to be in the category where, hey, we want to play college football?
Right. Yeah.
Right. SMU has proven they want to play, you know, major college football.
Mm-hmm.
They would, you know, yeah. And so there's differences in nuances. Tulsa doesn't want to play major college football, right? They can't. Teams like that, you have, even though they're Division One, what are they really?
Yep. I agree. It's a good point. All right, Bobby. We know you've been working all day. We appreciate you. Breaking news for us. Thanks for coming on and giving us the info on the latest hire for the Longhorns. We'll see you later, brother.
All right. Y'all be good. Thanks. Thanks, Coach. Good talking to you, Rod.
Thanks, Bobby. Too, brother.
That is Happy birthday. Thank
you.
Hey, see? Bobby knew. He knew it was your birthday.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.